You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiotakis, and today we're taking a trip through your pandemic mind and body. Your ear listens to information about a potentially deadly virus. Your brain registers it and thinks about those risks. Risks to you and to people around you, your family, friends, strangers. Your mouth vocalizes plenty of opinions about it, especially when it comes to masks and mask mandates. In LA County, on transit buses, trains, taxis, and ride-sharing services.
If I feel like I'm really close to people or like I want to make other people feel comfortable, but for me, like I like to not wear it.
I like that they're coming off. Most of the time I only wear it to make other people feel comfortable.
I think it's still safer to wear your mask because the pandemic isn't completely over.
It's more important on the train, on buses, in supermarkets where there are more people. For me, it's better to keep using them.
I have to wear a mask for the 9 hours I'm at work. So if there's an opportunity to not wear one, I won't wear a mask.
Those are Expo line riders named Brianna, John Ortiz, Min Kim, Paulina, and Christopher Ortega. But that's all that's left of the mask mandates on public transit and ride sharing. In grocery stores, restaurants, bars, and movie theaters, there are no mask requirements. And so, if many folks around you are not wearing a mask, are you still at risk, even if you are? Is it riskier on the bus than it is, say, in the grocery store? What about airline flights? And what if you're immunocompromised? To answer these questions, Yifeng Zhu is here. She is an aerosol scientist and professor at the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health. Hi, Professor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And to tell us about the latest on LA's public transportation, where that mask mandate has been reimplemented, Katrina Kaiser is here. They are a transit rider and steering committee member for Streets for All. Katrina, welcome to you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Professor, I'll start with you because you are a scientist who studies aerosol. COVID is spread through the air, obviously. Tell us what that means. What does an aerosol scientist study, by the way, particularly as it relates to public health? Is it about the spreading of viruses and things like that?
Well, thank you for that question. Aerosol is actually a broader term. It refers to both solid and liquid particles suspended in the air for a substantial amount of time, usually over a few minutes to hours, sometimes could be weeks. So as an aerosol scientist, we study multiple aspects related to aerosols. In the context of public health, we're mainly concerned about where people get exposed, how could we mitigate those exposures to protect people's health.
Are you still wearing a mask, by the way, anytime you go inside somewhere? You go to the grocery store, you go to, are you even going to those places?
Absolutely. I'm wearing my K95, sometimes KN95, depends on the situation, that you know, the settings. Right now, I'm teaching classes in person. I'm wearing KN95 masks in my lectures. I know it's a little bit tough to talk through, 2 hours of lecture wearing the mask, but I think the efforts did get paid off. We're wearing masks not just protect ourselves but protect others, because through this COVID, we know there's so many people. They don't even know they're positive. They don't even know they're contagious. Right. So putting the mask on with a little bit of effort, I think it does help to protect the community as a whole.
What do you say to the person who's listening right now who says, OK, I get really freaked out if I'm going into, Ralph's or TJ Maxx or whatever it may be. All right. And I see a lot of people who aren't wearing masks. I'm wearing mine. Am I safe despite the fact that all those other people are not?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it really depends on how we define safe. I think it's definitely safer for whoever wearing a mask going to the places, even there are people that they don't wear mask anymore. The mask does protect the wearer. Like, they're going to reduce the amount of aerosol particles that you're breathing in from just the air that's surrounding you. But it's always much more effective if we can put the mask onto the infected person, who we call it in the source control, all right? You reduce the amount of cough droplets going out from a potentially infected person and prevent prevent the virus spreading. That is always more effective than just trying to protect the the receivers who could be a susceptible person.
Katrina, I want to ask you. You don't have a car. You've been riding public transit throughout the pandemic. What's the experience for you when you're on that train? Are a lot of people? I mean, you're supposed to be masked up. There is a mask mandate on it. Are people doing it? Are they following those orders?
So the mask rules that were just, lifted and then reinstated last week, both before then and since then, I think I can honestly report anecdotally that in my train car, maybe 2/3 to 3/4 of passengers are wearing masks properly, including myself. And it's not necessarily always going to be a surgical mask or better. Some of them might be cloth masks. Some of them might be gaiters. Some of them might be masks that are worn around the chin or below the nose or something like that. But it's also true that the train's crowding can vary based on the type of day. And there's also, depending on the time of day, different experiences as to whether or not passengers are talking to each other and is maybe emitting a lot more aerosols.
Do you foresee a time, Katrina, when you'll feel comfortable with the mask mandate being lifted and riding a bus or a train again without a mask on? I mean, is that possible?
For myself, I think even though we know that the mask is most effective when it's covering the nose and mouth of an infected person, for me, even if I'm not feeling sick, there's also a little bit of a psychological comfort if I'm personally wearing my mask and if I see the other people around me wearing their masks. So it's hard to say, but, everybody faces different necessities as well. I have the option, for example, of biking to my office if that became necessary, but that's not going to be true for everybody.
Right. Professor, I'll ask you, are you upset that that mask mandate in LA County was lifted?
I really didn't think it was a smart decision at the first place. But just the whole COVID mask situation just like make me wondering, because we know one thing we learned about this COVID pandemic, we're 2 years into it. The situation is very fluid, right? The cases can go up and down. We're far from ending the pandemic as a whole. So given all of those uncertainties, now that we're seeing cases went up again in places, right, in some universities, it's really just premature, in my opinion, to lift up some of those mask mandates when the whole society finally got used to it. Now it's really confused people, right? Lift it up and then reinstate it. People get confused. I think our society as a whole needs to be more careful, more on the precautious side, given we're still in the middle of the pandemic. This mask policy is a very good example to demonstrate that.
What about the information that's out there, Professor, that where people, like I heard on HBO, on the Bill Maher show, Real Time, they were saying, well, the masks really don't do anything, and the CDC has apologized or has retracted what it said about masking. Is that true? Do masks not do anything?
That's just simply not true. I think one thing that we have learned in the pandemic, the vaccination really helps, right? And the masks really helps. There are lots of data already published. We're showing, like, for example, school settings, right? Or where there's good mask mandates and good high percentage of vaccinations. So the cases are much lower than other settings. There is plenty of evidence in the literature already demonstrating that masks is a very helpful and very cost-effective measure to mitigate the COVID situation. I think the public should appreciate that. We understand that wearing masks is extra effort to whoever put it on. As I mentioned, I would love to give an in-person lecture without mask, but if adding that mask shows a good example and put some extra efforts to help mitigate this whole situation, I'll do that. I'll put that extra effort to do it, to do the right thing.
Well, thank you both for coming on. Professor Yifeng Zhu, aerosol scientist and professor at the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health, and Katrina Kaiser, a transit writer and steering committee member for Streets for All. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you both.
And by the way, special thanks to Andrea Bautista for her contribution to this segment.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Dodgers are playing a series in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks this week. But let's jump into the Wayback Machine and set it to the fall of 1974. The boys in blue are playing their first game of the World Series against the Oakland A's. Chavez Ravine, eighth inning, hometown boys down 2-1. A's at bat, man on third in scoring position. Here's a much younger Vin Scully with a call.
1-1. High fly ball to shallow, well, medium center, and he should come home and score. Wynn makes one throw, and Ferguson took it with the better arm to throw. They got him! Oh, what a play!
Oh, what a play! You hear that roaring crowd? Well, somewhere in there is a man named Robert Sanchez, now a retired LAUSD carpenter. Well, 1974 was his first year on the job at Dodger Stadium. He was slinging peanuts when outfielder Joe Ferguson threw out the A's Sal Bando at home and made Dodger history. In the nearly 50 years since, can you believe it? Dodger Stadium, of course, has changed, and vending has changed, too. Even the game of baseball has changed. And Robert Sanchez, who goes by Peanut Man, has been witness to it all. And if you haven't met him in the bleachers, you're going to meet him right now on Greater LA. Robert, welcome.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's nice for you to join us. You were 16 when Ferguson threw Bando out at home plate. Do you remember it?
I remember that like it was yesterday.
You have seen a lot of great Dodger baseball in 50 years at the stadium. This isn't an easy question, but you know, it's like which one of your children do you love the most? But what's the greatest play that you've witnessed at Dodger Stadium? Is there one?
Well, you know what? That is a tough question. The greatest play, I'm going to mention this one because I think most people are familiar with it, when Kurt Gibson came to the plate and he was on one leg, literally, and he hit a home run in the World Series.
Yeah, he did his famous Kurt Gibson fist clenched elbow, right? Yeah.
That's right. As he was running and limping, that was memorable. There are just so many because I've been there for six decades now, the 70s, 80s, 90s, zeros, teens, and now the 20s.
Are you having fun?
Oh, I'll tell you what. They're paying me to exercise, watch a free game, deal with so many people. It sounds cliche, but this is LA. There's 3.2 million people who come through there, and there's all walks of life, every race, color, creed, and you deal with everybody. And everybody's different, as you know, and everything happens so quick, just like that. And it's just, it sounds cliche, but the fans make the whole job just so much fun. You can't put a price tag on it.
I try and get to the stadium like 5 to 10 times a year, pandemic willing, of course. You have been walking up and down those steps for 5 decades. So now, when I go to Dodger Stadium, like I need days to recover after a baseball game because it's a lot, right? How you doing?
Oh, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna be 65 this year, but I'm running around with those 20, 30, and 40 year olds, and I right now average 5 miles a game, 14,000 steps. This is an average.
Wow.
Okay, and what you try to do is stay injury free, and as healthy as you can. Many people have tried to band-aid. They hire in and they find out, shortly, "This is not for me. It's too hard." They quit. There's so many people that don't realize the fatigue, that you're going to take your hits. You're going to get hurt. You might slip on nacho cheese. You bang your legs on the seats. People are pushing you, you know, by accident. And other times you're like in a kettle, like sardines, and you're stuck. You're going to, you know, and then on top of that, the sun bakes you. You're carrying your load. You're sweating. You're making turns, going up and down stairs, twisting. And that's what I'm designed to do. It's not for everybody. And that's just the way the history has shown me. It's not for everybody.
I can imagine that, you know, in all those years, Robert, that the concessions have changed at Dodger Stadium, right?
Yes, they have. Now, I got to tell you, beside the prices, I mean, this is a business. And they have a high overhead, and that includes the players' salaries, etc. But the concessions have always been pretty good for ballpark food. Pizzas, cotton candy, hot dogs, you know, all your ice creams, churros. And there's a few other things at the top of my head that are pretty good. I mean, but mainly the prices have changed the whole venue, along with the cashless stadium. There's no more money at the stadium. It's all credit card.
Well, speaking of technological changes, I mean, there are some changes coming down the road in Major League Baseball, including an automated strike zone.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. You're obviously up for a similar challenge as a vendor, because, you know, you've got people who are able to get their own stuff, or, you know, maybe there are robots coming down the pike that are going to be selling. But, you know, whatever. I mean, we've got who knows what's going to happen next.
They've already started with the refrigerators to sell beer. They've taken the vending opportunity for us guys to walk them down the stairs with beer. They now have, just like 7-Eleven, picture that. You open the door, you reach in, you grab your product. You have one person to check to see if you're 21. And when you get to the cash register, you pay with your credit card and you're on your way. But it is refrigerated beer. It's not ice cold. But that's one beginning of, as you put it, automated vendors to maybe one day take our jobs away. But I think LA fans have something to say about that.
Who are some of the most, so you know, you think of Dodger games, you think of any sporting event in LA, and you're gonna see some celebrities, right? Who are some of the most famous people you've thrown peanuts at or whatever?
I've given away one to Magic Johnson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, Will Ferrell. My God, there's so many here.
Do you interact with them when you're talking? I mean, you know, they're like, "Hey, I want some peanuts."
Yeah,
and you're like,
"Oh, I
know you."
This is a fast-moving conversation job. I mean, this is the best legal part-time job there is in LA. It's fast. It's moving. You're not holding a long conversation with anybody unless it's early before the game starts and you have time, a little more slack time to have a good little conversation with a mother and a kid, take some pictures, which I do. I take about 30 or 40 pictures a game. So anyways, yeah, I don't know if I can say this, but my Peanut Man name is spelled different. It's P-N-U-T-M-A-N-88, Peanut Man 88.
Robert Sanchez, a.k.a. Peanut Man, or Pizza Man, Pizza Man, who's been hawking goods over at Dodger Stadium since 1974. Robert, thanks for your time, my friend.
Thank you again.
Well, you can get your peanuts and pizza from Peanut Man. And, of course, they're the other stadium favorites, like Dodger Dogs, which you can now get in their original beef or veggie variety, this being L.A. and all. But with this new season comes a rollout of new menu items like dessert nachos and Nashville-style hot chicken. Here to tell us more about all of Dodger Stadium's new menu options is Mona Holmes, of course, one of our regulars here at GLA and a reporter at Eater L.A. Hey, Mona.
Hi, Steve.
Now, you and I have talked about Nashville hot chicken on this program before, and now they have it at Dodger Stadium, don't they?
They do. If you want, you can go to the field level and get the Nashville-style chicken tenders, you know, that Nashville-style, that nice, spicy, hot fried chicken with an order of crinkle-cut fries. And you can get it from the Sweet Chick stand.
For the low, low price of $59.95. No, it's not that expensive. But it will be a little pricey because you're at the Ravine. Yes, of course.
At a stadium, so it's going to be a little more expensive.
All right, dessert nachos. Now, I know about the nachos with the, you know, with the fake cheese and the jalapenos and all that stuff, but what are dessert nachos?
Well, I mean, it's just something really wonderful and sweet to try that's new. I mean, here's a question. Have you ever eaten buñuelos?
I have not.
They're a really wonderful Mexican dessert. And because it's Los Angeles, there's a huge Mexican-American influence on the Dodgers and the other way around, which is why you'll see tons of things like tacos, elote, and in this case, it's just a switch up of savory nachos to ones that are sweet. So what they'll do is they'll take a buñuelo. It's fried dough that's usually dipped in sugar and cinnamon. But this time they top it with soft serve, strawberries, and a drizzle of chocolate.
Mm. I see aguas frescas and taquitos have been added to the mix this year. What are some of the flavors that they're serving up? Where can you get them?
If you're in the field level or the center field, you go to Hornitos Cantina or the reserve levels, LA Taquerita. And this year, they've got horchata, strawberry kiwi, or a pineapple aguas fresca with a rim that's got tamarindo throughout. So that's another really wonderful option.
Are there any other standout new items that you can't wait to try that you haven't tried just yet?
Yes.
Which ones?
As a potato-obsessed person.
You and me both.
Kind of unhealthy obsession. The Twisted Tato stand on the reserve level has one dish called spiral potatoes. And what they do is they roast them. They season them with salt, pepper, garlic, tagine. If you haven't had that in Los Angeles, what kind of Angelino are you? A little bit of mesquite, cotija cheese, and chili lime aioli. So once again, very Mexican ingredients here.
Oh.
And then after many decades of eating Dodger dogs with the traditional dog, I'll be trying the Louisiana Hot Link, which is something that I grew up on here in L.A.
Mona, do these things just come and go? I mean, it's like a new season, so we have some new food items. Do they just disappear sometimes? Because I remember the frozen Kirin beer. This is the Japanese beer. You remember that? It was here for a couple of seasons, and then it went away. Hot dogs and peanuts are going to stick around, obviously. But some things are just one season, two season, and then they go. Is that how it works?
I tried the Kirin beer once, the frozen Kirin beer, on a very hot day game, and it was amazing aside from the brain freeze that came afterwards.
Yeah.
But when talking about what it takes for a menu item at Dodger Stadium or any stadium for that matter to stick around is sales. It comes down to whatever the fans like, they will supply it.
And if you don't have, you know, just a bankload of money to spend on dinner, right, for one person, you can bring your own food as well. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, you can. In fact, I have been known for bringing a peanut butter and jelly sandwich into the stadium and just snack on that because I either just want to be unfussy and that's what I used to do. Here's how it works. You can bring food inside as long as it's in a clear bag, no larger than 12 by 12 by 6. You can't bring any bottles, anything that's enclosed in glass, no cans, coolers, anything in a thermos. And you can bring in water as long as it's unopened and it's less than 1 liter.
All right. So now that we know how to get everything in, whether it be your own peanut butter and jelly sandwich, whatever it may be, what about areas around the stadium, neighborhood joints that are, you know, that are just chock full of great food?
There's a lot. I have a special love for Cosa Buona. That's on the corner of Sunset and Alvarado that makes incredible Italian food and pizza and meatballs and the like. Or you can go to Ototo, which has smaller bites, sake, Japanese beer. And if you haven't been to Philippe the Original in a while, go before a game and get a French dip from this very old 114-year-old spot and then just hop on the Dodger Stadium shuttle from Union Station.
Mona Holmes, reporter at Eater LA, regular here at Greater LA. Mona, I'm hungry. Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
That's all the time we have for this evening. Join us tomorrow when we head out to a changing Echo Park and visit a place that, when it opened a decade ago, was seen as a gentrifier. Now, even it's getting priced out of the neighborhood. The whole show tomorrow from Echo Park. And we kick off our series, by the way, called Born and Raised, like raised with a Z, like tearing something down for something new. That kicks off tomorrow, again, from Echo Park. Join us online anytime at kcrw.com/GLA. Hear any story from Greater LA. Get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, at the website, kcrw.com/GLA as well. Jenna Cagle, Robin Estrin, Juliana Mayo, Rebecca Ludman, Andrea Bautista, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, Phil Richards, Amy Ta, Holly Adams, and Christian Bordahl all helped with this evening's episode. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thank you for your time, your attention, and, of course, your ears. Have a great night.